Invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. That's on page 811 of your pew Bibles. Matthew 6, verse 19. As I said, we are taking a sabbatical for a time from 1 Corinthians. We'll be looking at John chapter 1 during Advent, the four Sundays before Christmas, if you want to be reading that. But this Sunday is a sermon from God's Word, a message from God's Word about giving. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This is the Word of God. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen to this reading of God's holy, divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that your word speaks to all of life. And Lord, thank you for giving to us your Holy Spirit that helps us to understand your word, that shines its light into our hearts, giving us understanding. But Lord, we pray this morning that we would not only understand your word, but that we would live your word, that we would be those who show the light and love of Christ, even in this area of finances. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. John Grisham's novel, The Testament, published in 1999, starts with the dying words of a very rich man who will soon be parted from all of his earthly wealth. Listen to his last thoughts on earth. These are the opening words of the book. Day, even the last hour now. I'm an old man, lonely and unloved, sick and hurting and tired of living. I am ready for the hereafter. It has to be better than this. My assets exceed $11 billion. I own silver in Nevada, copper in Montana, and coffee in Kenya, and coal in Angola, and rubber in Malaysia, and natural gas in Texas, and crude oil in Indonesia, and steel in China. My companies own companies. My money is the root of my misery. I had three families, three ex-wives who bore seven children, six of whom are still alive and doing all they can to torment me. I am estranged from all the wives and all the children. They're gathering here today because I'm dying, and it's time to divide the money. You know, brothers and sisters, whether we're rich or poor, we will all leave every last earthly treasure behind when we die. You know, it's a wise idea, yes, to prepare a suitable will for the loving distribution of your money and your possessions. But as Christians, we should not only be prepared for death, we should also be preparing our hearts for heaven. You know, today's portion of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 6, and I invite you to keep your Bibles open to God's Word, is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. It's such a rich portion of Scripture. Jesus preaches his sermon at the beginning of his earthly ministry. We hear Jesus as he applies the gospel truth to all of life. Speaks about true happiness. We call it the Beatitudes. Our holy witness for Christ. Guidance about the law. Anger, lust, divorce, oaths, loving your enemies, prayer, and fasting. And then Jesus applies the gospel to this critical area of finances. Giving to the needy. Giving of our treasures. Had one Christian brother who used to say the last part of our body to be sanctified, made holy, is our right rear pocket. You know, for men, that's where we carry our wallets. Women, it might be their purses. You know, why is it so difficult for us as Christians to see that our vital walk of faith with Christ involves our finances? You know, here Jesus is preaching on it, teaching this truth that our scriptural giving to our gracious God reveals our hearts for heaven. It's a thermometer, as it were, that shows where we are in our walk of faith with Christ. You know, what does it mean for us to be giving in light of heaven? And just this morning, we'll be focusing on here Matthew 6, verse 19 and following. First, we're to give from the heart. Secondly, we are giving with healthy or holy eyes, verses 22 and 23. And then finally, we are giving to our heavenly master, there, verse 24. But it begins by giving from the heart. You know, do not lay up for yourselves, we read in Matthew 6, 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It's important to define a key term, that word treasures. It's used three times here in two short verses. What's a treasure? A treasure is a valuable and cherished possession in which we place our safety, security, and significance. It's a cherished and valuable possession in which we place our safety, our security, and our significance. You know, let's take a quick look at a few earthly treasures. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, give you a couple examples here from God's Word. You remember the Magi as they came to Christ, Matthew 2, verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, then opening their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then again, one more example, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11. A rich man's wealth or a rich man's treasure is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. You know, here Scripture literally tells us, do not lay up, do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, why not? You know, Scripture gives us practical reasons here. It's because of ruin and rust and robbers, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. You know, moths, you know, those pesky little winged insects. You know, maybe you found them, and usually you find them too late. You go to your closet, and you look for your nice wool outfit, and there's holes in it. You know, moths get in everywhere, whether you live in a rich home or a poor home. They're non-discriminatory in their invasion. Rust, as well, will ruin your prized jewelry and tools. You see that truth throughout Scripture. James chapter 5, verse 2. James chapter 5, verse 2, we read, "Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days." You know, many of us know by first-hand experience that if moths don't get to our possession, or rust don't, thieves do. I'm sure many of you have been the victim of thieves. We think, okay, it's safe and secure here. You know, in Jesus' day, they had a closet inside their house. They had the walls of the house, and you had a closet in your house, and that's where you kept your valuable possessions. And here Jesus said, you know, thieves break in. Literally, they dig through your walls. You know, they know where you hide your possessions. You know, and they're going to get it if they want to. And here Jesus is teaching us that we must not seek to find our security, our significance, and our status in temporal treasures. We will always be disappointed. You know, before we move on here, Scripture clearly teaches the wisdom of saving God's money. I'll give you a few examples from Scripture. We rightly save money so that we can minister to the needy. You know, there it tells us that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, just a few verses earlier. "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward." So we save God's money so that we can give to others in need, so that we can provide for our families. You remember Joseph being used in Egypt. They were saving food resources, and he invited his family to come down there in Egypt. We use our resources to support aging parents. We use our saved savings to pay our fair share of taxes, to provide for the future. You know, that's not a wrong thing. Proverbs 6, verse 6, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest." You know, that it's a wise believer who saves for the future, for retirement, for emergencies. You know, but as well, we're to save for our offerings. You know, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, writes this: "On the first day of every week," you know, that was the Lord's Day, Sunday, "on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." You know, so each Sunday they were to have their offering ready, and then when Paul arrived, they were to give their offering in total to God's representative here. You know, but they were storing up each and every week so that they could give to the Lord. So Scripture teaches the wisdom of saving God's money. But why? You know, again, back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." You know, two reasons for laying up our treasures in heaven. You know, one for safety. You know, no ravages, no ruining, no rust, no robberies in heaven. Matthew Henry writes, "There in heaven it is safe. It will not decay of itself. An inheritance incorruptible." You know, there's a safety there. But then there is a sacrifice involved. You know, we lay aside some of the luxuries of this life in light of our eternal home with Christ. The streets up there are paved with gold. You know, but how do we as followers of Christ lay up our treasures in heaven? Not to be redundant, but when we assist the truly needy ones here on earth. Scripture tells us that we're laying up our treasures in heaven. When we care for the widows, the orphans, the strangers, and yes, the refugees. I don't have the political answers. There are no simple answers. You know, but God calls us to care for the needy. You know, think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, we tend to focus on the act, but do you remember the question that they asked Jesus that led to the parable? You know, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. You can find it there in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. You know, there was an investment there by that follower of Christ. Investment of emotion, energy, time, and yes, finances. You know, he gave so that hurting one could be cared for. You know, this is a great challenge for us today. And it always has been. John Stott put it this way: worldly ambition has a strong fascination for us. The spell of materialism is hard to break. Let me ask you, and you can ask me, what's your treasure? Maybe it's a family heirloom. You know, the first thing that you would save if a fire began to race through your house. Maybe it's your tools. Maybe it's your jewelry. Maybe it's your guns or your gold. You fill in the blank. I'll fill it in too. You know, it would be my books. You know, the question is, which ones would you save? Which ones would you leave behind? No, there's a promise here of heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, there's a scriptural truth here. Our hearts reside with the things we treasure. Our hearts reside with the things we treasure. You know, do we treasure our home in heaven with Christ? You know, do we find our treasured salvation, security, and significance, eternal significance in Christ? You know, think of Job. You know, Job lost most everything except his wife. Sermon for another time. He lost his oxen, his donkeys, his servants, his sheep, his camels, his house, his children. Then his health. You know, and there at the beginning, you know, we know the words of Job: naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall depart. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. But, you know, so often we forget the end of Job. You know, one of the lessons that the Lord was teaching Job was the lesson of repentance. I believe Job was guilty of that sin of idolatry, idolizing the things of this world. Therefore, at the very end, we read, Job says this: therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And there's a little glimmer of heaven as well. Job 42, verse 10 and 11, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before and ate bread with him in his house. And it goes on from there. you know, a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. You know, the Lord is going to restore, and more than restore, all that we willingly sacrifice, lovingly sacrifice for the cause of Christ, for the glory of Christ. You know, what principles does the Bible teach us about giving here in Matthew chapter 6? Christians give because our true treasure is in heaven. You know, we give with a grateful heart for God's grace to us in Christ. For those of you who read the papers or watch TV, you know, all the ads are coming on trying to get folks to give. You know, and it's interesting looking at the motivation that they use to cause people to give. You know, number one is guilt. You know, your stomach is full this season, so you ought to give to the hungry. And I believe we ought to give to the hungry. You know, but not out of guilt, you know, but gladness that the Lord has blessed us. The other thing they use is financial. Well, quick, do it by this date so that you can deduct it on your taxes. You know, and then the last one, you know, the one that perturbs me is happiness. You know, when you give, you'll feel better about yourself. So, in other words, it's selfish giving. We give so that we can feel good about ourselves. You know, and here Scripture says, no, we give with a grateful heart because of God's grace to us in Christ. You know, and as we give sacrificially, the Lord is preparing our hearts for heaven so that we will gladly go, not reluctantly, not sadly. You know, and if you're not doing it already, start giving away your treasures now. You know, don't wait for your will. You know, give it to fruitful, faithful Christian ministries, churches, even now. You know, pray about it, see how they're using their resources for gospel ministry. You know, then give generously from your heart. It's gospel-motivated giving. You know, so we give, you know, with our hearts. But secondly, and we'll move through these two quickly because really the first truth is the main one, we are giving with healthy or holy eyes. You know, left to themselves, verses 22 and 23 could be most difficult to understand. But it's really a short and striking parable by Jesus, and just two quick principles of biblical interpretation here. You know, Matthew 6, 22 and 23 is sandwiched between Matthew 6, 19 through 21 and then verse 24. So you always look at verses in context. And then secondly, the more clear passages of Scripture interpret the less clear passages of Scripture. You know, and here Jesus is saying that we ought to give with healthy eyes, bodies full of light, and he warns us against bad eyes, evil eyes, bodies full of darkness. What's Jesus teaching us here? Well, what's a healthy eye? A healthy eye is a single eye, a clear eye, a holy eye. You know, there's a connotation of generosity in that word clear or healthy. You know, think of Stephen as he prepared for heaven, even as he was being martyred. Scripture tells us there, Acts chapter 7, Jesus was gazing into heaven. He saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. You know, that we are to be looking at God first and foremost with that healthy, with that holy eye. You know, thinking that light enters our body through the eye. So if we have that eye that is focused Godward on Christ, then our whole body will be full of the light of Christ. And the contrast with that is if our eye is healthy or bad, if we're just focusing on the things of this world, our whole body will be full of darkness. John Calvin says, darkness here signifies gross and brutal affections. Remember how Adam and Eve were seduced? Yes, by Satan. You know, but when Satan showed them the fruit, Scripture tells us it was a delight to their eyes. You know, let's summarize here what Scripture is teaching us about giving with a healthy eye. A healthy eye is one focused on Jesus. Fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Christians with healthy, holy eyes see the needs of a lost and hurting, hopeless world around them. And they give generously for the spread of the gospel. John MacArthur summarizes it well when he writes, "The principle is simple and sobering. The way we look at and use our money is a sure barometer of our spiritual condition." You know, let us pray that the Lord would give us those healthy and holy eyes to see those who are hurting and hopeless around us, those who need Jesus. Finally, we are to be giving to our heavenly master. Last verse there, Matthew 6, verse 24. You know, our scriptural giving to our gracious God reveals our hearts for heaven. We give from the heart. We give with holy eyes. We give to our heavenly master. And now Jesus is driving home that truth about giving. The reality, no one can serve two masters. The word there for serve actually is the word slave. You know, not diakonos, deacon. It's the same word for slave. Slave or bondservant. By definition, a slave has only one master. And we are God's servants, God's slaves, because we've been bought with the blood of Christ. And Jesus tells us the dilemma that we will experience if we try to serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Strong language: hate, love, despise, devoted, despise. And then he concludes, you cannot, it's an impossibility for you to serve God and mammon, or God and money. Mammon speaks of a heart idol. Some say there was a Syrian deity called Mammon, but really it points us to unrighteous riches. Really, there are only two ways to live. You know, we try to live selfishly and sinfully, trying to stash away all the cash that we can, and usually with a vain hope that it can provide enough peace and protection in this life. You know, but the sad truth is, you know, we rarely think we have enough money. Well, if I had a little bit more money, then I'd be safe and secure. Had a few more things. And here Jesus says, no, we are to acknowledge that our true riches come from our gracious God, and we wholeheartedly are to act as his wise stewards of the resources that he has blessed us with, because he has graciously given us all things in Christ. You know, as a child, sang a lot of hymns, and one of the hymns that we sang was Jesus Calls Us. And there's one line in that hymn. It reads as follows. I sang it. I didn't understand it. Still chewing on it today. But it goes like this. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. No, that's what the Lord is calling us to. Don't find your safety, security, significance, in the things of this world. Resist the temptation. Three quick applications. Resist the temptation to selfishly hoard your treasures. And I'm preaching to myself. Start giving away your treasures now. Secondly, scriptural giving is a bright light for Christ in the spiritual darkness of the world. The world is stingy. The world wants to hang on to things. We as Christians are called to give graciously, generously, as a witness for our love and trust in Christ. And finally, we're to serve God with a loving and a devoted heart as a redeemed servant of Christ, to give with glad, with generous hearts, because of God's gracious love for us in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. Thank you for salvation, forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the sure hope of heaven. We thank you that you do provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Father God, we pray. Pray it for myself, pray it for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would teach us how to give freely, faithfully, generously, so that the gospel might go forth, so that we would be witnesses to the light and love of Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.